Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Cairo International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Guillermo de Oliveira. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for bringing me.
So you're presenting the film Sadel Unearthed here at the festival. Would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about what it talks about?
Well, Sadel Unearthed is the story of the cemetery that was built in 1966 by the Spanish army for the final scene in the film The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. You know, this duel in the middle of a cemetery surrounded by 5,000 tombs and with Clint Eastwood, Eli Wallach and Lee Van Cleef in the middle. And after the shooting of the film, the place was abandoned, and for half a century nature covered the place because it's in the middle of nowhere, until 2015 when a group of fans came to the place and discovered the original stones of the paved circle and decided that they wanted to unearth the place and rebuild it to make it look as it was in 1966. So we have been filming the whole process, and also interviews with people that were involved in the making of the film, like Eastwood, like Morricone, yeah, and other fans of the film, like James Hetfield from Metallica, film directors Alex de la Iglesia or Joe Dante.
So it really is a film that is one of the most beloved films of all time. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, it's been 50 years, and I believe that half a century in an art form like cinema that's only been a little more than a century, it's time enough to realize that it's the kind of movie that people will keep watching from generations to generations. In fact, the people that went to work at the cemetery to rebuild it, all these volunteers from all around Europe, most of them, they weren't even born in 1966. Yeah. So in a way, the seed of the film has already passed to the next generation.
So, I mean, Sad Hill, how did you find out about that there was people that were looking for it or that wanted to, you know, dig it up and restore it?
Because in a way, I'm a film nerd, you know, and every time I travel somewhere, I always take shots from the films that I love, and I look for the place where they were filmed. We're looking for where the camera was standing, where the actors were, how time has changed that place. And a friend of mine who knows about that passion heard on the radio that, you know, the cemetery still existed, which was mind-blowing for me, and that these people wanted to unearth it.
Yes.
So I took my camera and I went to the place with the idea of making a short documentary about these guys wanting to rebuild the place. But what I couldn't expect is that people from all around Europe would join them. And that raised a question, which was, why?
Yeah.
Why would someone pick up a shovel, put it in their trunk, and drive for 1,000 kilometers in the weekend to go work in a cemetery from a movie 50 years later, expecting nothing in return than just being there?
Presumably, it's kind of a little different for everyone. So, but just to kind of get some sort of an idea and share some sort of life experiences, why do you do it?
I did a full-length documentary trying to look for the answer, because I'm the kind of person who loves going to film locations and taking a few pictures, and then I just go away, and usually I never go back. But these guys kept going and going to the cemetery weekend after weekend, and that I just couldn't understand it, and that's why I needed a film, because it's not something that you can put into words. Like, you can take a specific person and try to guess why he's there, and I will tell you his reasons. But to understand the whole phenomenon, you have to join them for these 2 years of work from the beginning till the end. And if you join them in this adventure, by the end, you will start seeing them as film nerds, but by the end you will see them as, you know, like yourself.
Yeah, because I think also, I don't know, I mean, I want to dare to ask this question. Would it be more understandable to a wider audience? You use the term film nerds. Is it really that much different from restoring a painting by some famous artists from the medieval times or the Renaissance, really?
Not at all. And that's what one of the points in the documentary. We have this Metallica concert that it's like a leitmotif in the whole documentary. It appears at different moments, and you see the kind of passion of the people going to a Metallica concert. It's the same thing that's happening in the cemetery.
Yeah.
By the end of the film, there's an explanation why we are using a Metallica concert, right? But I think it applies to any art form.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the way art and culture touches us nowadays, it's life-changing for some people.
Yeah, and but you don't think that, I mean, film specifically, I feel that, and I'm not alone in this, that it's sort of looked down upon, like it's not considered on the same high plane as the higher arts. I mean, would you agree with that?
Well, I believe it's starting to change, and it's changed a lot, especially since Leone passed in 1989.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's been winning sort of consideration,
right,
especially between film critics, because the audience loved these films, you know, the Dollars trilogy. But I think it's something changing. The spaghetti western is always considered beneath the traditional American western. You know, John Ford, he's an auteur. He's a proper filmmaker, you know. And Leone was considered just films for the mass. But thanks to people like Tarantino, people like Christopher Frayling, who he's spent like 40 years putting into value all his work, people in Italy are starting to realize that he might be considered also as Fellini, Bertolucci, Pasolini, and all these Italian filmmakers.
Yeah. Christopher Frayling, yeah, I remember reading his book, Something to Do with Death. Yeah. Have you read it? It's a fantastic book, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how did you go through a list of people that you thought that you wanted to interview for this film? You mentioned James Hetfield, and then we've got Clint Eastwood and stuff, but what were the challenges, and how did you think that you were going to be able to get, for instance, Clint Eastwood?
No, obviously not. I mean, when I started this, I was doing a short film. This is my first film. I have a very small production company in Spain. We usually do advertising, some short films. So this was like a huge task. So we thought, okay, let's make like a list to Santa Claus and see what he brings. Huh? And we spent, in some cases, 9 or 10 months writing, calling, sending emails, faxes. But at the end, I think they were caught by the beautiful nature of the story. And that's why when they finally heard, because the difficult part is not to convince Clint Eastwood, it's to convince the people around him to tell him about what you're doing and propose the interview. But once we broke that barrier, it was easy.
I mean, you got Ennio Morricone. He gives... I haven't seen many interviews with him. I don't know why. I know what you mean. And by the way, but getting interviews, it's going to be very difficult. You know? I want to go back to just to end this interview on your fascination with, let's say, places and taking pictures of these places. You made a film about Sad Hill, and that's from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, one of the most beloved films that ever made, like we said. What are other places that fascinate you?
Every time I travel anywhere, I would go to places I love. Some of my favorite locations might be the cliff from the end of Thelma & Louise. Cliff from the end of Thelma & Louise.
If they listen to this radio and they haven't seen Thelma & Louise, we should stop.
That's the very same cliff where Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt, climbs at the beginning of Mission Impossible 2.
Oh.
It's one of the most beautiful places on earth, and huge, vast nature. You know, in Spain, we have all these locations from the spaghetti westerns in Almeria, in Madrid. Conan the Barbarian was also filmed there. Parts of Lawrence of Arabia. Anything,
so yeah. Yeah, there's so many. So I thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I remind our listeners that the film is called Sad Hill Unearthed, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.